Creatine, an alternative mitochondrial energy source for ME/CFS, fibromyalgia, and long COVID, by Dr. Courtney Craig, DC, October 27th, 2024. Thanks to Dr. Craig for providing more insights into diets and supplements that may be able to support people with chronic fatigue syndrome, long COVID, and allied diseases. Creatine, long known to sports nutritionists, begs the question why the ME/CFS and long COVID fields haven't looked more closely at compounds athletes use to increase athletic performance. Happily, in Dr. Craig, we have someone well acquainted with this compound. She did her master's thesis on it. With a spate of recent studies coming out on it, it was a good time to dig deeper into it. Creatine monohydrate. Creatine monohydrate has long been popular among athletes as a go-to supplement for enhancing strength, performance, and recovery. Decades of research back its effectiveness in these areas. However, recent studies are shedding light on creatine's broader potential. Beyond athletic performance, creatine supplementation may offer promising benefits for conditions linked to mitochondrial dysfunction and also neurodegenerative diseases like ALS and Parkinson's. This is because creatine serves as an alternative energy source for mitochondria, the cell's powerhouse, offering both enhancing and protective benefits. Given the many studies that have found mitochondrial problems in diseases like chronic fatigue syndrome, ME/CFS, fibromyalgia, FM, and long COVID, LC, this makes creatine an interesting compound indeed. Creatine, indirect mitochondrial energy source. Adenosine triphosphate, or ATP, is the main energy source in cells, but only a small amount is stored at a time. Energy is created from this molecule when ATP breaks down into adenosine diphosphate, or ADP, and inorganic phosphate. Creatine plays a role by helping recycle ADP back into ATP and acts like a sensor of the cell's energy state. Creatine can also be stored. Inside the mitochondria, the enzyme creatine kinase converts creatine into phosphocreatine, which can be stored and used to replenish cellular energy, ATP, as needed. Around 95% of the body's creatine is stored in muscle cells, with the remaining amount distributed in the brain and heart. These are cell types with high energy demands. Storing creatine here ensures rapid energy availability when needed. High-energy immune cells like macrophages and neutrophils also heavily rely on this stored creatine for quick energy. Creatine, mitochondrial stabilizer. Creatine helps protect the mitochondria by boosting cardiolipin, a specialized fat molecule found in the inner membrane of mitochondria. Cardiolipin acts as a structural scaffold that keeps components in the mitochondrial membrane in place for proper function. By raising cardiolipin levels, creatine helps enhance mitochondrial function and stability. Cardiolipin is also essential for oxidative phosphorylation, the process by which cells produce ATP, because it supports the structure and function of key protein complexes involved in the mitochondria's electron transport chain, or ETC. Cardiolipin stabilizes these complexes, allowing efficient transfer of electrons through the ETC. This process creates an electrical gradient across the mitochondrial membrane, which drives ATP production. Without proper cardiolipin levels, the ETC function becomes impaired, reducing the efficiency of ATP production and compromising overall cellular energy. Higher cardiolipin levels contribute to improved mitochondrial health and can boost energy metabolism, making creatine useful in conditions that involve energy deficits, such as ME/CFS. While it's not clear exactly what's happening in the ETC in ME/CFS, problems with two of the five complexes have been found. Creatine, leaky mitochondria supporter. Creatine also works closely with a protein called the mitochondria permeability transition pore, or MPTP. the MPTP generally should remain closed because its opening can disrupt energy production and lead to cell death. However, in certain controlled situations, temporary MPTP opening can release excess calcium or remove damaged mitochondria components necessary for cell survival. Prolonged or excessive opening, though, is harmful as it causes the mitochondria to lose their ability to produce ATP, leading to oxidative stress, energy failure, and ultimately, cell death. The MPTP acts like a calcium sensor. Typically, there is more calcium outside the mitochondria than inside. When calcium levels in the mitochondria become too high, it can trigger the opening of the pore. This opening allows molecules to leak out, disrupting the mitochondria's ability to produce energy. Opening also allows too much calcium to come in, which can damage mitochondria and cause cell death. By stabilizing this pore, creatine helps keep the mitochondria structurally healthy and in calcium balance. Here again, we see a potential ME/CFS link. Klaus Wirth and Matthew Lone have proposed that overly high calcium levels are playing a major role in the mitochondrial problems found, and a Stanford study recently found significantly increased calcium levels that were associated with ATP production and antioxidant levels. The MPTP also senses oxidative stress and opens when levels of reactive oxygen species, ROS, become too high. As an indirect antioxidant, creatine helps stabilize this pore by preventing it from opening. A recent review asserted that high levels of free radicals, reactive oxygen species, or ROS, are responsible for the shift from aerobic energy to anaerobic energy production, and for immune shift that emphasizes the inflammatory side of the immune system while inhibiting its pathogen-hunting side. Lastly, MPTP is also sensitive to changes in lactate, an acidic byproduct of metabolism. Lactate is produced in the cell during glycolysis when oxygen levels are low or energy demand is high, such as during intense exercise. In healthy cells with adequate oxygen, the end product of glycolysis is pyruvate, which is shuttled into the mitochondria to make ATP. In ME/CFS, this process seems to be impaired, and more lactate is produced instead of pyruvate. The excess lactate can trigger the MPTP to open. With all of the ways creatine helps with energy production and mitochondrial function, it is safe to say that those with ME/CFS would have a high demand for creatine. Creatine abnormalities in ME/CFS. Creatine abnormalities in ME/CFS. Brain imaging studies show that individuals with ME/CFS have abnormal brain metabolism. Specifically, they have altered creatine levels in certain brain regions. For example, ME/CFS patients have lower creatine in the parietal cortex, but higher creatine in the putamen compared to healthy individuals. These changes and higher brain temperatures suggest location-specific neuroinflammation and mitochondrial dysfunction. Creatine abnormalities are also seen in fibromyalgia, where increased creatine breakdown and higher creatine loss in urine as creatinine are linked to fatigue and pain. A positron emission tomography, or PET, and magnetic resonance spectroscopy, or MRS, study in fibromyalgia found that lower levels of creatine in the brain were associated with higher degrees of neuroinflammation. Nasool and his team reviewed lab tests from 272 ME/CFS patients and found that those with severe ME/CFS had significantly lower blood creatine kinase levels compared to healthy controls and milder ME/CFS patients. This finding held true even after adjusting for factors like age and muscle mass. These findings were also seen in microRNA profiles in the following study. The drop in CK levels could indicate an impaired ability to use creatine, pointing to problems in cellular energy production and mitochondrial dysfunction. Since creatinine is the end product of creatine metabolism, higher levels of creatinine in the urine may suggest that the body is breaking down and using creatine at a faster rate. Elevated urinary creatinine serves as a marker of increased creatine turnover and energy metabolism issues. A study finding increased 24-hour urinary creatine clearance in ME/CFS patients suggested that creatine may be being used up at a higher rate than usual, suggesting that creatine supplementation might be helpful. ME/CFS and long COVID treatment trials. Creatine has been the subject of several treatment trials. A 6-week study using 16 grams of creatine monohydrate in 14 ME/CFS patients, CDC criteria, measured subjective factors as well as brain imaging, MRS, magnetic resonance spectroscopy. Supplementation increased brain creatine levels and improved fatigue and some aspects of cognition without producing any side effects. However, this study lacked a comparative placebo group. More treatment trials have been conducted in long-haul COVID that show promise. An 8-week randomized controlled trial supplementing long-haul patients with 8 grams of creatine monohydrate per day in combination with glucose to improve absorption resulted in improvements in symptoms including body aches, breathing problems, concentration problems, headaches, and general malaise. Brain imaging also showed increased creatine levels in the treatment group versus the placebo group. Another small RTC showed improvements in time to exhaustion using a smaller dose, 4 grams of creatine per day, for 3 months combined with respiratory therapy. No changes, however, were found in fatigue syndromes. The same group expanded on this study, though, by giving 4 grams of creatine per day for 6 months to long-haul patients. This time, the researchers found a significant reduction in general fatigue and improvements in typical long-haul COVID symptoms, including improvements in loss of taste, interestingly enough. Studies use a metabolic precursor of creatine, guadinoacetic acid, or GAA, have also shown up. Guadinoacetic acid, GAA, is not widely available as a supplement as of yet, but a small randomized control 3-month ME/CFS trial with a 2-month washout period found no significant changes in fatigue levels but significant increases in muscle creatine stores and increases in muscular strength and aerobic power. A creatine fibromyalgia randomized control trial produced similar results. After 16 weeks, creatine supplementation increased the level of phosphocreatine in muscles and enhanced both lower and upper body muscle function. An open-label study assessed 16 weeks of supplemental creatine monohydrate, 20 grams for 5 days, followed by 5 grams per day for the rest of the trial, in 20 fibromyalgia patients who also received their usual treatments. Significant improvements in fibromyalgia severity, quality of life, sleep, disability, and pain were found. These improvements faded within 4 weeks after stopping creatine supplementation. The study's conclusions were limited, though, by the small sample size and high dropout rate. How to take creatine monohydrate? The body produces half of our daily creatine naturally, while dietary sources such as meat, fish, and dairy can contribute to the other half. For instance, a pound of uncooked fish or beef contains about 1 to 2 grams of creatine. There are no plant-based sources of creatine. This provides yet another reason why plant-based diets are not a good idea for those with ME/CFS. Creatine monohydrate usually comes as a powder that is mixed into a liquid. It poorly dissolves in water, so is often mixed with a small amount of juice, and the addition of this glucose source also helps absorption in the intestine. There are other forms of creatine available, but none have been reported to be better than traditional monohydrate. Supplementing with creatine can increase body stores significantly with just 1 week of use. Taking 4 to 5 grams a day can increase muscle creatine content by 20 to 40% and brain creatine content by 5 to 15%. Some people may experience water retention when taking creatine. This happens because creatine increases glycogen storage in muscles, which draws in water. Taking large amounts all at once can lead to gastrointestinal stress, nausea, or stomach ache, so care should be used to titrate up as tolerated. However, in the studies referenced, side effects were rarely or never reported. According to the International Society of Sports Nutrition, creatine supplementation of up to 30 grams per day for 5 years is considered safe and well tolerated in both healthy individuals and various patient groups, from infants to the elderly. Can creatine trigger a HERX response? Yes. Generally, any supplement that has immune system effects can potentially trigger a Herxheimer reaction. Creatine has been shown to affect macrophage function via its ability to increase ATP levels. The enhanced energy availability to these immune cells contributes to stronger anti-tumor immunity, primarily driven by the activity of CD8 plus T cells. And in other studies, exposure to creatine seems to affect the production of cytokines and toll-like receptors, TLRs. Because of this, some patients may experience a HERX reaction when supplementing with creatine and should take great care to start very low and slow. Courtney Craig. Courtney Craig, DC, was first diagnosed with CFS as a teen in 1998 and recovered in 2010, utilizing both conventional and integrative medicine techniques. Trained as a doctor of chiropractic and nutritionist, she now provides nutrition consulting and blogs about what she's learned. You can find her at www.drcourtneycraig.com/blog. You can also see a link to her YouTube channel in the text version of the article and a link to learn more about creatine from Dr. Craig as well. You can check out more of Dr. Craig's Health Rising blogs at another link.